إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that he has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 15th session from the book of Shaykh Abdul Aziz ibn Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Sadhan hafidhahullah, which he entitled Min Akhlaq al-Anbiya, yani from the character and morals of the Prophets alayhim salatu wassalam, yani those characteristics that should be taken by us, the believers, as a model and an example to be followed in our daily lives. Our topic this evening is the 16th and 17th characteristic from the characteristics that the Shaykh Hafidhullah has mentioned, yani from the characteristics of the Prophets alayhimus salatu wassalam. And before we discuss those two characteristics, we want to look quickly as a review over some of the points that we discussed in the previous session, and from questionnaire study guide number 14. The first question, Walaikum Assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The first question, discuss the 14th characteristic of the Prophets alayhi salam mentioned by the author Hafidhullah. Na'am, Abu Sa'id. Being persistent in calling the people who oppose them. Who oppose them. Anybody add anything? By being persistent in calling the people who oppose them. Nothing else? Naam. Jazakallah khair. Naam. Adam al-qunut. Yani without expressing or feeling despair or losing hope on the people that they're calling. Without losing hope. Being persistent in calling them and without losing hope. Without falling into despair. Question number two. Outline the four examples of this 14th characteristics mentioned by the author Hafidhullah. Mention what? Four examples. Four examples that the Shaykh gave in brief. Yani what are the four examples that he gave of being persistent in da'wah? Naam, Abu Jamil.
Nuh constantly calling his people.
Nuh constantly calling his people, whole nation of people for a lifetime. Naam. Second example? Our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calling his uncle. And he called his uncle an old man, but he didn't give up hope even though he was old, right? Until he died. Third example, that was the third example. Second example.
The Prophet Nuh,
alayhi salam, calling his son, yani a near relative, a close relative, even up until the point when death overtook him. Naam. The fourth example, Mustafa. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam giving shahada to a Jewish boy, meaning giving dawah to a child, not feeling that children, there's no hope for them, leave them alone, don't worry about them. Naam. Elderly people, young people, yani close relatives, the whole nation, yani all of these are examples of the Prophet alaihi wasallam in giving dawah, being persistent in giving dawah and not losing hope in the people that they are calling. Question number three, how many years did the Prophet Nuh alayhi salam live? Discuss this based upon the ayah in the Quran in Surah Al-Ankabut 29:14. Naam, 29:14. Siddiq.
He gave da'wah for 1,000 minus 50 years.
He gave da'wah for 1,000. I said, how long did he live?
1,050
years. Any other answer? Any other answer? 1,050 years. And there's a difference of opinion about this, we agree upon, right? Okay, we mentioned a few opinions. We mentioned three opinions, right? Naam, give me another, Naam, Abdul Karim.
950?
Huh? 950 years. Another opinion. Now, Abdullah. Huh? The position, the view of Ka'ab, Al-Ahbar. Now. He said that he lived 1,020 years. Based on what? That he lived amongst his people for 950 years, calling them. And after the flood, he lived 70 years longer. After the flood, he lived on. He didn't. After the flood, he didn't die, right? So he said 1,020. Another opinion. Does anybody have the opinion other than Ibn Abbas? Qatada. Naam. What was the opinion of Qatada? No, somebody in the back. Naam. Nadir. Huh? He said 950 years. But explain, because they said 950 years already. What did Qatada say about 950 years? Somebody help us. 950 years. Yeah. Siddiq. Sadiq. That's not the opinion of Qatada. That's Ibn Abbas. Opinion of Qatada. Qatada. Rahimahullah. Naam. Abdullah again. 300 years before the da'wah. Naam. And then he was calling them, giving da'wah for 300 years. 350 years after the flood. After the flood. 300 years before he started calling them. 300 years calling them and 350 years after the flood. That's the opinion of Qatada. And the third opinion, the opinion of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, is what Ibn Kathir says is the most correct opinion, and that is what?
He lived before
he was commissioned to call the people for 40 years.
And then he remained amongst them for 950 years calling them.
Then he called them. He remained amongst them calling them for 950 years as mentioned in the Quran. And then?
And after the flood he lived another 60 years.
And after the flood he lived another 60 years, which is a total of what?
1,050.
40 years before calling them, 60 years after the flood, and 950 years calling them. 1,050 years. And these are some of the opinions. There are other opinions. Allahu alam, yani, what is really the fact of the matter, the truth? But Ibn Kathir says this is the strongest opinion, the opinion of Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhum, may Allah be pleased with him and his father. Question number 4, discuss the importance of the statement, La ilaha illallah, mentioned at the deathbed of Abu Talib. The importance of this statement of La ilaha illallah, mentioned at the deathbed, Ibrahim.
That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, commanded him to say this statement because he may be able to argue upon his behalf.
He commanded him to say La ilaha illallah for what? Because he said, by saying it, this is a kalima that what? I can argue with it on your behalf in front of Allah. Naam. Did anybody memorize the statement? Naam. Abu Jamil. قل لا إله إلا الله
كلمة أحاج لك بها عند الله
كلمة أحاج لك بها عند الله أحاج لك أو argue on your behalf بها with this كلمة عند الله. نعم. This shows the importance of this statement of لا إله إلا الله. Because that word, if he had spoken it, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, I can speak up for you by this word, kalima, la ilaha illallah. Any kalima mean here a statement, right? The fifth question, is it necessary for the person accepting Islam on their deathbed to say, after la ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah? Is it necessary for the person on their deathbed, yani, to, after saying, yani, la ilaha illallah, to add to it, Muhammad Rasulullah? Naam, Sharif. Naam, because the Prophet ﷺ, when he told his uncle, I need to surrender, to submit to Allah, he told him, say La ilaha illallah. He didn't tell him to say Muhammad Rasulullah. And the Jewish boy, even a greater proof, stronger and more clearer, is that he told him to say La ilaha illallah, and the boy said La ilaha illallah. That's all he said. And then he died. And the Prophet ﷺ said what?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Alladhi anqadahu. In the other narration, he said, Najahu bi, by me, minan nar. Naam. So this shows that yani, it is not necessary, but rather the foundation of the matter, the essence in the core of it, is the statement, La ilaha illallah. And he discussed the significance of the Prophet ﷺ's statement at the death of the Jewish boy. Yani the statement of the Prophet, yani that we just mentioned, what is that statement again? Alhamdulillah, alladhi anqadhahu min an-nar. What is the significance of this statement, or even the other narration of it? Najjahu bi, and who has saved him through me from the fire. And alhamdulillah, who has saved him, rescued him from the fire. Now, what is the significance of this statement?
Value, as human beings, we may think that the Prophet ﷺ saved this individual, but in all actuality, all
tell people
from Allah
ﷻ. Nah.
He is the guide.
On face value, on the surface, it may appear as though the Prophet ﷺ saved him. That you who is giving da'wah, that you saved these people, but rather it is Allah. It is Allah who saves someone, maybe through you, but it is Allah who saves. It is Allah who protects. It is Allah who guarantees. It is Allah who guides. Nah. Naam. You have to tell them to say La ilaha illallah. Not just suggest it, but say La ilaha illallah. Naam.
And also shows the weight of La ilaha illallah, because just by that one kalima, that the boy received from the fire.
And it also shows the weight of the kalima La ilaha illallah, because this boy, who was a Yahudi, son of a Yahudi, said La ilaha illallah on his deathbed and then died. And the Prophet ﷺ said he saved from the hellfire. Now.
Also, the greatness of the action as far as ajr, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Ali had thought if Allah was the guide, someone through you, that's better than red camels."
Now, and showing the magnitude of this yani word and the people who called to it, the Prophet ﷺ said to Ali that if Allah had guided one man, rajulan wahidan, through you, Allah guided them, right? Allah guided them, but through you, it will be better for you than the red camels. Okay, there's still two questions now, I'm sorry. Why was it so important for the Prophet ﷺ to give so much care to those who already believed? Musa.
To increase them in firmness.
People already believe. We don't just, any person enters Islam, alhamdulillah, they believe, and then we abandon them. No, people have to remain firm. This is of the utmost importance. And some of the supplications that we learned previously concerning the importance of the firmness. Anybody remember any of those supplications? Now. Ya muqallib al-qulub. Thabbit qalbi ala dinik. Oh, the one who, yani, muqallib al-qulub, turns over the heart, make my heart firm upon your deen. Naam. And other supplications like this. Naam. Abdurrahman? Naam. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'd idh hadaytana. Naam. Wa hab lana min ladunka rahma. Innaka anta la. Tayyib. And this supplication also reminds us of what? That yani the need to remain firm. O Allah, do not cause our hearts to deviate after you have guided us. And finally, discuss the answer of the sons of Ya'qub, alayhimus salam, to his question, "What will you worship after me? What will you worship after me?" Naam. Discuss the answer of his sons. Naam. What was the answer of his sons, by the way? We'll worship your ilah, and the ilah of your fathers, Ibrahim, Ismail, Ishaq, alayhimus salam. One ilah, yani ilahan wahidan wa nahnu lahu muslimin. What is the significance of this? What is the meaning of this, yani? What are they saying here? Naam.
They're saying that after you die, we will not make partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will continue to be muwahidun.
Now, we will continue to be muwahidun. We will not make partners with Allah. We will not associate anything with Allah. We will not make anything equal to Allah. Rather, we will devote al-uluhiyya to Allah alone. That's the meaning of the first part. What? That we will na'abudu ilahaka. إِلَهًا وَاحِدًا يعني نوحد الله في العلوهية يعني the عبودية is for Allah alone ونحن له مسلمون meaning نعم
we will
be in submission and obedience to Allah, we will humbly submit ourselves in obedience to Him And Ibn Kathir says that they joined what? Jama'a bayna at-tawheed wal-amal. At-tawheed wal-amal. Yani between establishing the tawheed for Allah alone and then acting upon it. Submission. وَنَحْنَ لَهُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. And some people acknowledge لا إله إلا الله. And maybe they have some sincerity in what they're saying. They really believe that is true. But then they don't act upon it. It's not sufficient just to say لا إله إلا الله. But there's prayers and charity and fasting and being truthful and just and fair and all kind of other things that are requirements when a person acknowledges Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is right over us. Tonight, inshallah, the first characteristic that we want to discuss is the 16th characteristic. And remember, how many characteristics the Shaykh mentioned in his book? We said in the beginning, anybody remember? Ishroon. Naam, Ishroon. 20, right? And today we are looking at 16 and 17. And what follows are the fruits of characterizing yourself with these characteristics. طيب, the first characteristic we want to mention tonight, characteristic number 16. تحملهم عليهم السلام أذية أقوامهم. They're enduring patiently the harms that come from their people. Enduring patiently, being tolerant and putting up with the injury, the damage, the hurt, the harm that came from their people who they're calling to Allah trying to save them from the hellfire. And again, for every one of us, this is not just general speech, rather this is for you, brother, and you, sister. This is for me, and it's for each one of us. You have to look at your own self. This is the characteristic of the prophets of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam. And it's the characteristic as Muslims that we claim that we take them as our example, as our model, that we should ourselves be characterizing ourselves with, right? Being patient in enduring and tolerating some of the harm and hurt and injury that comes from the people that we are calling. Whether they are kuffar, mushrikeen, or they are people of bid'ah, whatever. They when you call them to tawheed and the sunnah, sometimes they will curse at you, or speak ill against you, or lie or slander against you, or they might even physically attack you. And there are some places where they will actually physically attack you. That's a fact. Naam. So this is for us. This is not just history of the prophets. Rather, this is for us to act upon in our lives. From the characteristics, from the noble morals and characteristics of the prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam, تحملوا أذية أقوامهم. Bearing patiently, enduring and tolerating the harm and hurt and injury that comes from their people. The Shaykh says, فقالوا عنهم. Their people said about them, سفهاء. That they are what? Foolish people. وقالوا شعراء. That they are what? Poets. وقالوا إنهم أهل الجنون. They are the what? Crazy people, madmen. Naam. And more than that, as we find in the Quran. وَمَا ذَلِكَ كَانَ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. In spite of that, the Prophets, عَلَيْهِمُ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ, كَانُوا أَرْحَبَ النَّاسِ صَدْرًا وَأَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ تَحَمُّلًا. In spite of that, the Prophets, in spite of the harm and hurt, and the names that they call them, calling them foolish, calling them poets, calling them crazy, calling them magicians, calling them all the things that they said about them, liars and so on. In spite of that, the prophets, they were أرحب الناس صدرًا. Their chest, their heart, was most welcoming. It was open to the people. They were still receptive to them. They didn't say, get away from me. Go to the Jahannam. They didn't say that. وَأَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ تَحَمُّلًا. And they were more than any of the people, in being tolerant and patient and enduring, in spite of what their people said to them. I just want to look quickly at a couple of ayats, that talk about, this behavior from the people of the prophets. In one place, that we mentioned previously in Surah Al-A'raf, 7th Surah, 66 Ayat. 7th Surah, 66 Ayat. قال الذين كفروا من قومهم إنا لنراك في سفاهة وإنا لنظنك من الكاذبين. يعني those who disbelieve from amongst their people. يعني the people of Hud, this ayat is in reference to the Ad people, people of Hud, alayhi salam. The disbelievers from amongst his people, they said, إنا لنراك في سفاهة. Indeed, we see you to be in foolishness. وإنا لنظنك من الكاذبين. And we believe, we see, we consider you to be. يعني more likely that you are from amongst, it's more likely that you're from the liars. You're a liar. This is what they said to him. As Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di says, yani this, they're saying, is their way of rejecting his da'wah. And, yani, criticizing his opinion or his ability to see things clearly, his view of things. They said, what? We see you to be in foolishness. And we believe most likely that you are one of the liars. You're not rightly guided. You're not wise, discreet. We think that more likely you are from one of the liars. In another place, in Surah As-Saffat, 37th Surah, 36th Ayah. Yani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the ayah before that, when it is said to them, yani, La ilaha illallah, they become, huh? Naam, proud and boastful, yastakbirun. They become proud and boastful. Yani, we don't want to hear it. Yaquluna, inna latariku alihatina li sha'irin majnoon. They're saying, shall we abandon our gods that we have been worshipping? And our forefathers were worshipping, and we are still continuing to worship. So we abandon them for this speech from a sha'ir majnoon, yani a crazy poet. Huh? They called him a what? A poet and a crazy one at that. Are we going to abandon our gods for this speech from a crazy poet? Yani in opposition to his call, calling them to establish yani the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani they considered yani that he is no more than a crazy poet. Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di says it wasn't sufficient for them, may Allah disgrace them, that they al-i'rad anhu, that they turned away from him. That wasn't enough. Yani we don't want to hear it, just go away. Yani that wasn't sufficient just to turn away. Wala mujarrad takdhibihi, it wasn't sufficient that they actually denied him and called him a liar. That wasn't even enough. That wasn't sufficient for them. But rather, they went on to what? Declare, falsely, of course, that he is no more than a mad, crazy poet. Even though they know that he had nothing to do with poetry. And they know that he was the most intelligent and sane person amongst them. And the one who had the best view of things. And the way that he saw things and the way he understood better than any of them. And one more ayah I want to mention, and of course we know that there are many ayahs in the Quran like this, so many, and there's no end to them. In Surah At-Tur, 52nd Surah, 29th and 30th ayat. 52, 29 and 30. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَذَكِّرْ فَمَا أَنْتَ بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ بكاهن ولا مجنون أم يقولون شاعر. يعني Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, remind the people, يعني remind the people of the message of Allah, of tawheed and the obligation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a proof against them, the disbelievers and the believers, يعني a proof against the disbelievers and as a reinforcement for the believers. Remind them, فذكر فذكر. And in another place Allah says what? فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Because indeed they remind the prophets, the believers. Yani it's a proof, a hujjah on the disbelievers, and it's a reminder that benefits the believers. فَذَكِّرْ فَمَا أَنْتَ بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ بِكَاهِنٍ وَلَا مَجْنُونَ. For indeed, by the mercy of Allah, by the praise of Allah, You are not a soothsayer, nor are you a madman, a crazy person. Or they are saying that he is a shair, a poet. And these are some of the false accusations that they made against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and other prophets before him. That he is a soothsayer, he's just one who what? Gets some information from the jinns, and they steal a hearing from the heavens and they bring something truthful and they mix with it. 100 lies. He's not a soothsayer, just guessing and making up something. Nor is he what? A crazy person, nor is he a poet. He's not a person who has lost his mind. He's not a person who the jinn have overcome, possessed by a jinn. Rather, he is completely sane, and he is intelligent, and he is truthful. And all of these are false claims from the disbelievers to try to argue against and reject the call of the prophets when they call them. So the Shaykh, he says, with this in mind, these kind of ayats from the Quran that tell us how these people treated the prophets and the messengers, alayhi salatu wasalam, they called them all of these names. They said that they were stupid, they were foolish, they were poets, they were magicians, they were liars, they were whatever. All these names that they call them, and the Shaykh says, وَمَا ذَٰلِكَ كَانَ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ أَرْحَبَ النَّاسِ صَدْرًا وَأَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ تَحَمُّلًا. And this is also, a reminder for us, that in spite of these kind of names that they call them, whatever kind of names that they called us, in spite of that, the prophets were the most welcoming of all people. They were receptive to the people that they were calling, even though they attacked them and lied on them and slandered them and called them names. And they were the most patient and enduring and tolerant of the harm that came to them from their people. And then the Shaykh, he says, وَهَكَذَا دَعِي. And this is the way it has to be for the person who calls to Allah. If this is the way of the prophets, then they are our example. The example for the believers in general, especially those who are calling to Allah. If you consider yourself to be amongst those who call to Allah, and which one of us does not? Is there any one of us that believes that Islam is the haqq, is the truth, is the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way that Allah has prescribed for the whole of humanity, and we don't call anybody to it? Is there any one of us that feels that we are not responsible to call anybody to this? That Allah has guided us, alhamdulillah, later for the rest of the world. Every one of us have to consider ourselves in some way or another, whether you're giving speeches or writing books, or whether it's just your neighbor or your co-worker or your classmate, we have to say something or do something or give something to people to call them to Islam. And when we do that, we're going to receive some harm from some of them. Some of them are not going to be pleasant. They're not going to be pleased. They're not going to be happy. They're not going to say thank you very much. Some of them will say thank you. Some of them are waiting for somebody to call them. And it's our shortcoming that we don't call them. And some of us are just afraid that they might respond negatively, that they might call us some names or spit on you or something. So we're scared to call people to Allah. And this is a mistake. وَهَكَذَا الدَّاعِي. This is the way of the da'i. عَلَيْهِ أَنْ يَتَحَمَّلْ أَذِيَةَ السُّفَهَا. That he must bear patiently, endure and tolerate the harm that comes from the ignorant, foolish people. حَتَّى يَنَالَ الْأَجْرُ مِنَ اللَّهِ. In order that he will what? Achieve the ajr, the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do we think that Allah will reward us just for being Muslim and we didn't try to reform those around us? We didn't try to call anybody? We didn't follow the example of the prophets? Do we think that we're just going to get a reward just because we are, mashallah, salih fi anfusina, we are righteous in ourselves and we do not try to make islah of the people and the society around us? Rather, of the greatest things that are pleasing to Allah and the greatest acts of obedience to Allah is giving da'wah, and through it a person can earn the reward of Allah. وَيَرْجُوا بِذَٰلِكَ هِدَايَتَهُمْ وَدُخُولَهُمْ فِي دَعْوَةِ الْخَيْرِ. And also, in being patient with the harms of the people in giving da'wah, not only do we hope to achieve the reward of Allah, but we also have the hope that by being patient with them, they will be guided and they will enter into the da'wah, this call to the khair, that is to Islam, that they will enter into this da'wah, this da'wah al-mubarakah, the call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the call to at-tawheed and the pure sunnah according to the way of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu anhum, and those who follow them from amongst the tabi'een and the atba'a tabi'een. And we mean by that, na'am, as-salaf as-salih. Yani the call to Islam based on the way of our righteous predecessors. Righteous predecessors. Yani those who came before us from amongst the righteous. We don't mean our ancestors from India or Africa or someplace who were pagans. And we worship in ancient African history or ancient Indian culture. We don't mean those people, those pagans. We mean our ancestors, people who came before us, who were from amongst the righteous. And as Salaf al-Salih, it means our ancestors who were believers in Allah, who were worshipping Allah. It doesn't mean some great so-called ancient Indian or African civilization of pagans. That's not what we're talking about. Just to be clear. Because sometimes people come into Islam and they have baggage and they're still worshipping the ancient African civilizations. Pagans. We're not talking about those people. The second characteristic that the Shaykh mentions, the 17th characteristic of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يعني عدم شماتتهم عليهم السلام بالأصات إذا عوقبوا. Yani that they do not rejoice, they do not take pleasure at the misfortune that befalls the disobedient, yani when the punishment befalls them. Yani the prophets, they were not, yani they didn't, yani display malicious joy, yani happiness, pleasure at the misfortune of the people who calamity befell. Yani they were not happy that, yani alhamdulillah, that these people disbelieved. That's not something to be happy about. When Allah's punishment befalls the people, it's because, naam, because they have been rebellious. Because they have disbelieved, they have rejected. They have been stubborn, naam. But it doesn't mean that we are happy that people are being destroyed. Rather, we are happy if people are guided. We are happy if people are guided. And we are happy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has saved us from being amongst them. We are pleased with this. Yani, from the characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أنهم لا يشمتون بالأصاة إذا وقعت العقوبة بهم. Yani that they do not rejoice or take pleasure over the disobedient ones when the punishment befalls them. Because الشماتة, yani this joy, pleasure, taking pleasure and rejoicing over the misfortune that befalls another, ليست من الخلق الفاضل. This is not from the noble, yani characteristics or noble character, exalted character. والأنبياء عليهم السلام من أبعد الناس عن الشماتة عند حلول العقوبة. And the prophets, alayhim as-salam, they are the furthest people from, yani, taking pleasure and rejoicing at the time when the punishment descends upon the people who have been disobedient. They are the furthest people from rejoicing over this. وَانْظُرْ كَيْفَ كَانَ عَمْرُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ وَحَالُهُمْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّلَامِ عَنْدَمَا حَلَّتْ الْأُقُوبَةِ بِمُخَالِفِيهِمْ. So look, yani, look at, consider, how was the amr and the hal? What was the condition, the affair of the prophets alayhi wasalam at the time when the punishment descended upon those who opposed them, those who rejected them? And the Shaykh gives two examples here: the example of Salih alayhi salam and the example of Shu'aib. And in the first example, the Shaykh gives us from Surah Al-A'raf, 7th Surah, 78th Ayat. Naam. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَأَقَذَتْهُمُ الرَّجْفَةُ فَأَصْبَحُوا فِي دَارِهِمْ جَاثِمِينَ. So the earthquake very severe shaking of the earth seized them, overtook them. And then their condition became what? The condition of those who are laying down dead, prostrate in their homes. Naam. The Shaykh says, فَهَلْ شَمِتَ أَوْ تَحَكَّمَ صَالِحْ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ بِهِمْ. So when the earthquake overtook them, and they were destroyed, and they were killed, and they were laying dead, prostrate in their homes, did the Prophet Salih alayhi salam, did he rejoice at this calamity, this destruction that had befell him? Did he make mockery of them? Did he ridicule them? Here the Shaykh says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the 79th ayat, 7th surah, 79th ayat, قال الله تعالى عنه فتولى عنهم وقال يا قومي لقد أبلغتكم رسالة ربي ونصحت لكم ولكن لا تحبون الناصحين. يعني that Salih, he turned away from his people at the point of their destruction. He turned away from them at the time when the destruction befell them. And he said, speaking to them, and he certainly rebuking them, but not rejoicing at their punishment, he said, يَا قَوْمِ لَقَدْ أَبْلَغْتُكُمْ رِسَالَةَ رَبِّي. Indeed, I have delivered, I have conveyed to you the message of my Rabb. And he's feeling something, and he, at their destruction, that I have done everything I could, I delivered the message completely, wholly, and in the best ways possible. وَنَصَحْتُ لَكُمْ, and I have given you advice. I have delivered the message of my Rabb, and I have given you good advice. I advised you, warned you. I was eager and diligent and made every effort and tried every path to get you, and every means to get you upon the straight path, upon the upright deen. وَلَكِنْ لَا تُحِبُّونَ النَّاسِحِينَ. But you did not like, you didn't love, yani those who give good advice. Rather, you rejected the advice of those who give good advice. And you obeyed, yani, every evil rejected shaitan. The Shaykh says, Muntaha al-Riqqa wal-Ataf. Yani, this is the extreme limit of gentleness, of kindness, of compassion that is displayed in this position by this Prophet Salih alayhi salam in seeing his people destroyed and only, yani, saying to them at their destruction, I have delivered the message, I have made every effort, I have advised you in the best ways possible, but you didn't like good advices. The second example that the Shaykh gives, the example of Shu'aib. And this is, yani also in Surah Al-A'raf, 7th Surah, 91 and 92 and 93. And the Shaykh, he says, he mentions first the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concerning Shu'aib and his people, فَأَخَذَتْهُمُ الرَّجْفَةُ فَأَصْبَحُوا فِي دَارِهِمْ جَاثِمِينَ. That the earthquakes seized them and their condition became the condition of those who were dead, still, motionless, prostrate, laying down dead in their homes. الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا شُعَيْبًا كَأَنْ لَمْ يَغْنَوْ فِيهَا الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا شُعَيْبًا كَانُوا هُمُ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Yani those who denied and belied Shu'aib alayhi salam, it was as though, yani, they were never there, that these weren't their permanent homes, that they never dwelt in these places. It was as though they became non-existent, completely wiped out, as though they had never been there in these homes. Those who denied Shu'aib, indeed, they were the losers. And it is mentioned in some of the books of Tafsir, alayhi salam, that they said, whoever follows him, you will be from amongst the losers. And Allah refuted them and rejected them, saying, indeed, they are the ones who are the losers. Naam. الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا شُعَيْبًا كَانُوا هُمُ الْخَاسِرِينَ. those who denied Shu'aib, they were themselves the losers. Real losers. Yani they lost their dunya and their deen. They lost themselves and their families on Yawmul Qiyamah. Indeed, this is the clear loss. The Shaykh says, وَالشَّاهِدْ Yani the point, yani of this yani narration in the Qur'an is yani that the Prophet Shu'aib alayhi salam, yani at their destruction, he said, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَتَوَلَّ عَنْهُمْ He turned away from them. وَقَالَ يَا قَوْمِ لَقَدْ أَبْلَغْتُكُمْ رِسَالَاتِ رَبِّي وَنَصَحْتُ لَكُمْ فَكَيْفَ آسَى عَلَى قَوْمٍ كَافِرِينَ Yani he turned away from them at their destruction. Yani their own prophet who was concerned and considerate and compassionate and made every effort to call them. At the point of their destruction, he turned away from them and declared to them, indeed, I have delivered the messages of my Rabb and I have advised you with the best of advice and made every effort to guide you, but you refused and rejected and rebelled and transgressed all bounds. فَكَيْفَ أَسَى عَلَى قَوْمٍ كَافِرِينَ So how can one grieve over a people that there is no khair in them? Yani a disbelieving people. There is no khair in them. Yani when the khair came to them, they rejected it. They didn't accept it. And there was nothing befitting of them. Yani they didn't feel that any kind of behavior was befitting of them except evil. So these people have no right that we mourn over them. They have no right that we mourn over them. How can we mourn over a people who have rejected the good advice when it came to them and the message of Allah when it came from their Prophet who made every effort to guide them? And again, the point is, yani what? That the Prophets, yani even they felt yani a loss of their people at the time of their destruction, even though they made every effort and they declared that I have made every effort, but you never accepted it. The Shaykh, after this, he mentions, فَعَلَيْكَ يَا مَنْ تَدْعُوا إِلَى الْخَيْرِ So it is incumbent upon you, the one who is calling to the khair. Yani the Shaykh here, it is as though he is addressing yani the people of da'wah. And of course we say that the people of da'wah are all of the Muslims. All of the Muslims are the people of da'wah. Meaning that all Muslims should be calling to Allah, to the deen of Allah and to the way of Allah. Nobody should exclude themselves from this yani obligation of calling to the khair that we have enjoyed so much. Yani in the guidance of Islam. The Shaykh is saying what? So it is incumbent upon you, the one who is calling to khair. إِذَا رَأَيْتَ مَنْ أُبْتُلِيَ Yani if you see the one who has been afflicted, yani who affliction befell him. أَنْ تَحْمَدَ اللَّهِ That you praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not that you rejoice at his affliction. Not that you, yani, declare that you are better than somebody else. That this is good for them and you are free from this because you are better than somebody else. Rather, you should praise Allah. Yani Allah who has saved you, who has rescued you, who has protected you from that which befell the other people. And these are, yani this, yani hadith is a clear indication of the ways that people can look at the same reality and see it differently. Yani some people, they see a person who's afflicted and they yani condemn those people. Like, it's because you are defective, because you are stupid, because you are evil, because you are corrupt. Not realizing that the better way to look at it, instead of looking down on the other people, is to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah has saved you from that. Because what has befallen the people could befall any one of us. None of us are exempt from that. Don't imagine that the person, the brother or the sister that used to be with you in the masjid and now they have abandoned Islam. Don't imagine that it's because you're better than them that you are still practicing Islam. It might be that there's yet to come what we don't know is coming. Don't feel safe. Don't feel that you are better than others, but rather praise Allah who has saved you from that which other people have been afflicted with. Whether it's physical affliction or spiritual affliction, whether it's in their deen or in their dunya. Praise Allah. Thank Allah. Don't look down on other people. Rather, praise Allah and thank Him that He has saved you from this. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ has directed us to in this hadith. Hadith reported by Al-Tirmidhi on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, in which the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man ra'a mubtalan, faqala alhamdulillah, alladhi a'fani min mabtalaka bi, wa faddalani ala kathirin min man khalaqa tafdila, lam yusibhu dhalika albala'u." Yani the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever sees a mubtala, yani a person who has been afflicted with a calamity, person who has been afflicted with some kind of calamity, man ra'a mubtala, faqala alhamdulillah, and then that person praises Allah, lam yusibhu dhalika albala, that affliction that person has been afflicted with will not befall you. Yani man ra'a mubtala, faqala alhamdulillah, to the end of the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, لَمْ يُسِبْهُ ذَلِكَ الْبَلَىٰ, that he will not be afflicted with that affliction. So you see a person afflicted, praise Allah. Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي عَفَانِي مِمَّا بِتَلَاكَ بِي. Praise be to Allah who has protected me, who has saved me from that which you have been afflicted with. وَفَضَّلَنِي عَلَىٰ كَثِيرٍ مِّن مَّنْ خَلَقَ تَفْضِيلًا. And he has given me preference, a great preference over many of those whom he has created, yani many of his created beings. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has saved me from that which this person is afflicted with, and he has also given me a great preference. فَضَّلَنِي عَلَىٰ كَثِيرٍ مِّمَّنْ خَلَقَ تَفْضِيلًا, over many of those whom he has created. This hadith has been narrated in many books of hadith, and in some of the narrations, I just want to mention quickly, some of the narrations, wording is slightly different. This is how it came in the Sunan of At-Tirmidhi, that whoever says this praises Allah for saving them from that affliction that the person is afflicted with, and has given them preference over many of his created beings, لَمْ يُصِبْهُ ذَلِكَ الْبَلَىٰ, he will not be afflicted with that particular affliction. At-Tabarani mentions this narration with the wording, يعني الحمد لله الذي عافاني مما ابتلى هذا به, who has saved me from that which this one has been afflicted with, وَفَضَّلَنِي عَلَيْهِ, and has given me preference over him, وَعَلَىٰ كَثِيرٍ مِّن مَّنْ خَلَقَ التَّفْضِيلَ, and over many of those whom he have created with a preference. عَافَاهُ اللَّهُ, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect him. Whoever says this, Allah will protect him. مِّن ذَلِكَ الْبَلَىٰ كَائِنًا مَا كَانَ. And this is the point that I want to mention, the end of the narration, he says, whoever says this, when they see an afflicted person, then Allah will protect them, مِّن ذَلِكَ الْبَلَىٰ, from that affliction, كَائِنًا مَا كَانَ, whatever it might be. Whatever it might be. Whatever that affliction is. In another narration, and there are other narrations that have this wording, but there's another narration in the Musnad of Al-Bazzar. And in his narration, the end of it, it says that Allah will protect that person, مِنْ ذَلِكَ الْبَلَىٰ كَائِنًا مَا كَانَ أَبَدًا مَا عَاشَىٰ. Yani that Allah will protect him from that affliction, كَائِنًا مَا كَانَ, whatever it may be, أَبَدًا, forever, مَا عَاشَ, as long as he lives. And the reason why I want to look at the other narrations, because perhaps, yani when we read the narration of At-Tirmidhi, he will not be afflicted with that bala, it's open, yani it's mutlaq, but we want to know, yani how can we understand it? Yani does it mean whatever that affliction may be? Does it mean forever until you die as long as you live? According to some of these narrations, it means whatever that person is afflicted with. If you praise Allah sincerely, yani with ikhlas from your yani heart, that you praise Allah for saving you from that, and acknowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in saving from that has yani given you a preference over many of his created beings. This attitude that is expressed in these words is an attitude due to which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save you from that affliction. But it has to be sincere, it's not just words, right? Like any supplication that we say has to be sincere, that you really sincerely are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for saving you from that. And you acknowledge and recognize that He has given you preference. Don't feel like, you know, what has Allah given? Allah has preferred you over many of His created beings. Naam. He has preferred you over many of His created beings. And in some of the people, He didn't guide them to Islam. Some of the people, He didn't give them Iman. Some of the people, He didn't guide them to the Sunnah. Some of the people, didn't give them correct Aqidah. They were not guided to this. So when you see a person afflicted with false Aqidah, That's an affliction. That's the greatest affliction a person could be afflicted with. Not the person who's crippled or blind or in a car accident. But when you see a person afflicted, whatever it may be, whether it's a physical affliction or in their deen, which is the worst affliction, recognize that this is a favor from Allah due to which he deserves to be praised. It's a preference that he's given to you over others, over many, many, many others. I just want to read quickly and then we'll stop here. Concerning this hadith, and some of the scholars, they said, some of the scholars, they said that whoever sees one who has been afflicted, whether it's in his body, yani physically, or whether it's in his deen, yani these are the two general areas of affliction, yani physical affliction and religious affliction, yani calamity in a person's deen. And by the way, Shaykh al-Albani said this hadith, yani the narration in At-Tirmidhi, he said that it is hasan, yani hasan, it is a good and acceptable hadith. Some of the scholars said, whoever sees the person who is afflicted, whether it is a physical affliction like sickness or some other kind of disease, or whether it is yani a person who has some abnormality in their body, whether it is blindness or cripple or whatever it may be, or whether it's in their deen, meaning that they are a sinful person who has fallen into fisq, disobedience to Allah, or dhulm, or they have gone astray, yani into innovation, bid'ah, or kufr, or other than that. These are examples of the types of afflictions that people could be afflicted with. Yani all types of physical affliction, and all types of religious affliction. And of course, the worst of them is kufr and shirk. And along with that is bid'ah. Especially because the people of bid'ah, yani, unlike the people of sin, the people who are committing sins, who are drinking, yani the Muslims who are using intoxicants, they know that is sinful. So they might have a change of heart, and they might repent to Allah. But the people in innovation, they don't repent, because they don't believe that they're doing anything wrong. They believe that they're doing something good. Their innovation, wallahi, if you go into some of the masjids, yani almost every person has dhikr beads. It's really horrendous. And they actually, you could see in the people's faces that they feel like they're doing something good. Though it has no basis whatsoever in the way of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I say that being fully aware that some of the scholars of Sunnah have allowed the permissibility of dhikr beads. I'm fully aware of this. But we also know, in spite of that, yani we respect their view, but it has no basis in the Sunnah whatsoever. Not from near or from far. There's no narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's no authentic narration, not even from a Sahabi, of anybody using any dhikr beads. And I'll only say that as an example, because the examples are too many. That's only one example that's obvious because we see it. But there's a lot of innovation that we don't see. This is the innovation that we see. And some of us, because it's so widespread, we have become content with it. And when we see it, we don't even say, Alhamdulillah, alladhi afani mimma batalaka bi. We don't even say that. Because we don't even think that it's an affliction. We don't even see nothing wrong with it. We have become content with it. And our souls are at rest with it. Even though the Prophet ﷺ said, Man ra'a minkum munkaran, falyughayyirahu biyadihi. Whoever sees a munkar, change it with his hands. If he's not able to, speak out against it, bilisani. And if he's not able to, at least hate it in our hearts. We don't even hate it in our hearts. We see this innovation, deviation, corruption all around us, and we don't praise Allah that He saved us from it, nor do we try to change it. Or at least, the least of it, وَذَلِكَ أَدْعَفُ الْإِمَانِ. That's the weakest of iman, is that at least we hate it in our hearts. Rather, we become content with it. Some of us might even ourselves, due to our whatever, yani it's a trial from Allah. Some of us, naam, we might actually try it. And it looks attractive. In any case, naam. Okay, now let it be sufficient. Yani we can stop here, inshallah. It's kind of warm today, tonight. So there's some further discussion concerning this hadith, but I'll just suffice to say that some of the scholars did distinguish, because it's quite lengthy. Some scholars distinguish between this statement, saying when you see an afflicted person, Alhamdulillah, alladhi afani mimma batalaka bihi. Yani that you're addressing the person. Yani Alhamdulillah, who has saved him from that which he has afflicted you with. Yani some of the scholars distinguish between the person who's afflicted with a physical calamity, sickness, abnormality that they were born with or something, or an accident that happened to them, and the person who's afflicted with the calamity in their deen, meaning that they chose to reject the sunnah, and so they followed deviation. Yani there's a distinction. Some scholars made a distinction, meaning that the person who's afflicted with a physical calamity that is not from their doing, then we shouldn't say it loud to them, to make them feel that, wow, you're saying, Alhamdulillah, Allah saved me from what you afflicted with. That we shouldn't say it out loud to them. Naam. As opposed to the one who's afflicted in his deen, who's found innovation, that person, some scholars said, say it to them. As a rebuke of that person and the deviation that they are upon. Except that some scholars said, unless you think that in saying so, it will run them further away from the truth. We should weigh, right, the benefits and the harms, the maslaha and the mafsada. If saying that to them as a rebuke would make them feel guilty, and might make them review their self, then say it to them directly. Let them know you've been afflicted. Alhamdulillah, save me from this affliction. What affliction? This deviation that you are upon. And try to call them to the sunnah. But if you think that kind of speech may run them away from the sunnah, as many of the people have been run away by us, because we are too harsh, too abrasive in our da'wah, with no compassion and no gentleness and no kindness. So some people run away, and they even say, stay away from those people, I don't want to be around those people. And that, you know who they mean. They mean us, the people of sunnah. So we have to weigh the benefit and the harm, and we have to call people, and we have to correct wrong, and we have to enjoin the good and forbid the wrong, but we have to do it with wisdom. With wisdom. Naam. Udu'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati wa وَالْمَعِذَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِيهِ أَحْسَنِ. Call to the way of your Lord with hikmah. Hikmah means calling the people with the right method and in the right way, at the right time, in the right place, in the right situation. That will bring about results. Not just any time with any word in any situation. Hikmah means putting thing in its right place. وَالْمَعِذَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ using words that will encourage the person, a good way that will encourage the person to do good deeds or to leave the evil deeds that they are upon in a good way that brings about results. And argue with them in ways that are best. If you have to argue, it doesn't mean shouting and screaming and cussing and swearing, but it means going back and forth with them, bringing your proofs and evidence. Even if you have to do that, do it in the best way. Don't shout and scream and holler and call people names. And again, Wallahi alladhi la ilaha illa huwa. Some of us, we are upon the sunnah. We know the sunnah. And we know the Prophet ﷺ didn't act like this. But some of us, we act like we're not supposed to act. We do call people names. That has no place, in this da'wah. And some of the other people from other cultures, they're famous for it. Ya himar, ya kalb. Some of you don't know about this, but some of us, we know about it. Now, okay, so anyway, we'll stop here, inshallah. Let me just see, Bismillah, assalamu alaykum. Let's ask this question, how do we know who the scholars are? How do we know who is the scholar? What is the appropriate response? Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. And I have one question here. How do we know who the scholars are? And how do we know if a speaker, for instance, is really a scholar? And if somebody asks this question, how do we know who the scholars are? In brief, the easiest way to know who the scholars are is to ask the people of knowledge that you have access to. Ask the people of knowledge that you have access to. Who are the scholars? The people of knowledge, they know who the scholars are. Some of us, indeed, we don't know who the scholars are. Or we might only know one or two scholars. And alhamdulillah, there are many scholars in the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Past and present, many scholars. Okay? Whoever doesn't know, don't take a chance. But ask someone from the people of knowledge, from the people who are upon the sunnah, who are the scholars that we should take from? Whether they are those who have passed away, Allah yarhamuhu, or those who are living today, Allah yahfadhum. Yani whether they are from those who passed away or those who are living today, ask the people of knowledge who are the scholars. Yani some people know some of the scholars and don't know many of the scholars. But at least the people of knowledge amongst you, they can give you a good list of scholars. Yani who are living and those who have passed away, and we should be careful to take from the scholars or the people who are taken from the scholars. And be careful from taking from people who just freestyle. There are some people who when they speak, they don't refer to anything. A brother, and I have to say this and I'm going to close with this. A young boy mentioned tonight a paper that somebody was giving out telling the Muslims, vote, vote, vote. How old are you, Tariq? 11 years old. He said, what is this? This is an 11-year-old boy. An imam wrote this paper. An 11-year-old boy is saying, what is this? Vote, vote, vote. So one of the brothers, before the young boy said this, one of the brothers had brought it to my attention. I said, well, let me see it. What is he saying? So I read it, every word of it, from the beginning to the end. Every single word of it. How does a person claim to be somebody who's a leader of the Muslims and a person of knowledge and call people to vote, vote, vote and don't even quote one scholar, any kind of scholar, any kind of scholar, Ikhwani or anything else, whatever, quote from a scholar who says what you are saying, at least. Because there are some scholars from their people who say vote. Rather, there's some difference of opinion in some areas, in some minor areas of the issue. But just to just talk and tell people vote, 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 if you don't vote, you don't count. If you do vote, you still don't count. Vote for this mushrik or this mushrik. What's the difference? Wallahi, akhi, you're not going to get any benefit from this. And I say that being fully aware of the difference of opinion among scholars on some areas where they might see something slightly different. But there's no doubt in this situation, akhi, there's no benefit in it and it's not really permissible for a Muslim to participate in this corruption, filth, kufr. There's no benefit in it whatsoever. And whoever wants to read what the scholars have said about this, a lot of scholars have spoken about it in detail. And we can give it to you. Just yani send us a request and we will send you some of the fatwa of living scholars who are living right now talking about this issue. Naam. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wa jazakum Allahu khayra.